if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
And good morning. I hope everybody had a good weekend. I know I did. Went out into the field a little bit, and several pigeons who I was able to draw away from the urban area suddenly seemed to collapse from what seemed to be lead poisoning. But I don't quite get it. There was a bit of an epidemic yesterday. Not a big fan of pigeons, so it doesn't really bother me much. Last Monday, we were doing a show and had a caller call in asking me about a utility 308 rifle. What could I get that could be used as a hunting 308 and a kind of like a battle rifle, sort of a 308, an SHTF, something hits the fan kind of a rifle. And I recommended the FAL series, the FNFAL series of rifles. And that's just so you understand, that's a very tall order to fill. Something that is a 308, which would be a very good hunting gun as well as a good battle rifle. That's a little bit of a difficult situation to try and fill both of those with one gun. However, I really believe the FAL is probably at the top of the list for that. There's some other choices as well. And as it just so happens, I came across a company by the name of DSA Arms or DS Arms, I forget which. And they are an American company that does FAL rifles. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look it up while I'm on the air. I have the website. I just want to make sure I put it in there properly before I put it out there. And they were actually on Wednesdays, you can look at the Outdoor Channel. And the Outdoor Channel does a lot of shooting shows throughout the day on Wednesdays. And they happen to be featured last Wednesday one of the programs and going over a lot of the different guns that they have, all based on the FAL rifles. They also have some AR-15 related platforms. It is DSA Incorporated and it is DSARMS. So the A both is for DSA and for arms. So it's DSARMS.com. And they have some great American built FAL type rifles, which are good solutions. Different barrel lengths. They also have the AR-15 platforms. Good 308 platform rifles that they have actually, they've been pretty innovative with a couple of things. They're using some carbon fiber in some areas. So if that's the type of rifle you want to look at, I would suggest looking at this company. It seemed very good. I don't really like the word progressive in most situations because when that has a political connotation, that means socialist or even further towards the commie is what progressive means when it comes to most discussions. But these guys are very progressive. I guess a better word would be very innovative with a lot of their FAL type of rifles that they've got out there. Very good group, and they're an American company, so you're not buying a foreign-built gun, which, you know, foreign-built guns are fine, but if you can get a new one that was built here in the U.S., you know, hell, support the economy and support the companies that are supporting us to support our Second Amendment rights. With all that support, how could you go wrong? Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back from the break. You know, I am doing this handgun course coming up this weekend, actually, for the Shalene Nightingale campaign in Southern California. Shalene Nightingale is running for governor of California, and my own terms, these are my own words, I kind of see Shalene as kind of the Ron Paul of the candidates running for governor in California. Not quite as well funded or well known as some of the other candidates, but very conservative in her ideas. Almost too conservative for the majority of California. However, when we talk about the majority of California, we're talking about the metropolis centers around San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, where there's just a whole lot of lefties. The rest of the state is very, very, very red, very, very, very Republican, especially inland from the ocean, and even some areas up and down the coast that are fairly red. There's just such high concentrations of lefties that it's difficult to get in. But, you know, for the last 10 years now, 11 years actually, they've had a Republican governor in Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, I say Republican by name, not by actions by any means. Shalene is very, very conservative. She's not a Republican. She's much more conservative than that. So anyhow, this weekend we're doing a handgun course to benefit Shalene's campaign. Got a lot of people signed up. I've got a number of instructors meeting me up there Friday night and Saturday morning. This thing kicks off around 8 a.m. We're going to be out having breakfast early, getting stuff together. I'll be up there Friday afternoon, actually with my daughter, who will be turning 20 this weekend. My eldest will be 20. So we'll be spending her birthday together teaching people how to shoot. And that's a pretty good family time, as far as I'm concerned. I've actually had a few inquiries from different places around the country, listeners to the show that have some sort of influence in some political arena that are interested in doing the same sort of thing. There's one in Arizona, there's one in Illinois, there's another we're looking at which might be in Florida, another potentially in Georgia. Just some good positive things where it comes to putting on shooting events, like a weekend-long defensive handgun event, where I can come out with my group of instructors and do something like this in different areas around the country. And I have to tell you, folks, I am happy to do that. Having gone through the learning curve here with Shalene, I have all of, obviously, I'm a pretty organized guy when it comes to this, all of my notes, everything that we've done, a lot of things that have worked very well to get the word out, a lot of things that we could do to maybe do it a little bit better. So along this line, pardon me, I will be putting together some form of a pretty inclusive packet. If somebody's interested in doing something like this around the country, be it for political gains or not, but just to get some information out there. It's just right now, there is such a strong atmosphere that the Tea Party has brought along, that the entire state of Arizona legislature and the governor has brought along with a lot of laws they've passed. All the Firearms Freedom Acts from across the entire country that have been getting passed. There's a very, very strong, very conservative, very pro-Second and Tenth Amendment movements going across the country, sweeping across the country. So if we can come out there and put on a good, solid weekend handgun course for a number of people for a very reasonable, very discounted rate, to benefit some organization, be it a political organization or a pro-gun organization, something like that. Myself and the instructors that I have working with me are happy to accommodate. We're happy to accommodate and we're happy to help out. In the name of the Second Amendment, in the name of freedom, in the name of having people truly understanding a core foundation of being able to defend themselves. Now, I'm not saying when we get out of there, we're going to have a bunch of absolute high-end tier one and tier two style, you know, gunfighters that are out there. But you'll be able to, with continuing on with your practice, the 2 days is worth 3 days worth of any high quality. 2 days with us is worth any 3 days worth of high quality handgun firearms training anywhere else in the country. Anywhere. I mean anywhere. Because I've either trained there or trained with those people. And I know what's out there. I already have the curriculum written for this course. I've had this curriculum written for this course for 3 months or more. And it is going to be a fantastic, fantastic course. And we're willing to bring that to different areas around the country. So you can always shoot me an email to bill@2aradio.com if you're interested. And again, it doesn't have to be a political party affiliation. It's just right now with everybody gearing up and the, you know, wait till November. November can't soon, come soon enough. Things like that to try to really just up the awareness. I'm really excited about the potential of doing something like this in Illinois. Because right now we're going to California, which is number one on the Brady list. Yay, we're happy with California because they screw more people out of more gun rights than any other state. Illinois, I believe, is number two. So I'd love to go there next. I would love to be in Illinois putting on a defensive handgun course. Absolutely love to do that. And really, throw it into the face of all the anti-gunners, anti-gun politicians, just all the scumbags that are afraid of guns because when their subjects are unarmed, they're happy. They can do whatever they want in the legislature and pushing any laws that they want to get done. Now, keep in mind, the big anti-gun areas are right around Chicago, that whole area of the state. The rest of the state is incredibly rural. And the rest of the state really wants to be able to carry guns, including many sheriffs and police chiefs that are really lobbying to get concealed carry or exposed carry, but mainly concealed carry amongst the populace of the rest of the state. Even so much as to say, pass a state law and let the counties decide. But then again, if it's a state law and this county says, yes, you can come here and get a CCW, they're probably going to have to honor it in, well, Cook County, where Chicago is. They don't want to do that. Anyhow, I would love to go there and do a class. So we're speaking with a contact there that's with a large, very conservative group looking at doing that. And this is the idea here is also to have good press about the whole thing. On Sunday this weekend, on day two, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., which includes lunch and includes a good lecture, and then it also includes a fair amount of really good high-end shooting. That's just a good time. We're going to welcome the press out there to come out. Now, keeping in mind it's California and they're not very pro-gun, and it is on Sunday, we don't expect a lot, but we expect at least a little bit of press to come out there and document some of this stuff. And one of the things that I am, that someone else actually gave me the idea, and I have to thank them very much for this, is we are not allowing anybody to wear camouflage when it comes to coming to the course. The reason being that the non-understanding, extremely liberal, extremely leftist Marxist press love to see people who wear camouflage, focus in on them, and then throw on the label of extremist. That's what they love to do. That is a ploy that the leftist Marxist media has been doing for a long time. You see anything at all that's camouflaged, ooh, let's get a shot of that, and let's mark this as an extremist sort of a thing. So, we're not having people wear camouflage. There's a reminder letter of all kinds of things, tidbits. Make sure you bring all of this stuff going out to everybody who signed up for this course in California this weekend. No camouflage is highlighted on that reminder letter. Again, I have just this entire package that I'm putting together in case anybody or any organization wants to put on something like what we're doing in California this weekend, down the road, June, July, August, September, whenever. I have an entire, it's almost timed out as well, okay, start off here, do this, this is what you need on your website, this is how you need to do blah, da, 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 da. All these different things that are basically a step-by-step in an effort to do this. And we're really looking forward to this. I got all the instructors confirmed for the weekend. I'm actually probably an instructor or two long, more than what I really need. However, I'd much rather have more guys there than not enough. I'd rather have a better showing of instructors than struggling a little bit. So we're going to have basically one instructor for about every three or four students that are there. And that's going to be a fantastic ratio. One instructor gets to stand there and work with three or four people as we're traveling through this entire progression of defensive handgunning. So I'm really looking forward to that. Of course, next Monday will be the first show back from that course. It'll be a very, very late Sunday because we're going to finish up and then I've got to drive back, unload all of my gear and everything. But next Monday, we'll be in here, and it will be a recap of that entire event. I'm really looking forward to some incredibly positive things coming out of that. We're going to do some good fundraiser kind of things there if people would like to document this and things. We'll be able to take pictures, you know, here's what it is. We're going to put it in a little frame and have it for you tomorrow. Do some pictures on Saturday, have them available on Sunday. It's very neat. By the way, if anybody's still interested in this, you can still go to the link and look at it. Go to 2aradio.com. Look at the link. Look at the information. Registration for the course ended a few days back, I think last Wednesday or Thursday. However, we still have a few spots that we can fill considering the size of the range that we're using. So we're allowing people to still sign up directly. You can go to Shalene's site there. It's actually a Facebook page. And still get a couple of people in there if you like. And there's a couple of people who've said that, you know, they don't want to throw credit cards down, but they're going to show up and just pay at the door. We're allowing that, too. It's all good. We're being very, very accommodating for this sort of a deal. But that's going to be happening this weekend. Again, you can go to 2aradio.com, click on the banner. It's actually kind of an ad that's there on the home page down just a little bit. So check that out, and I hope to see you there. Several of the listeners are already signed up. I'm really looking forward to shaking hands and meeting them. I'm not kissing any babies, though, guys, but we are going to be doing some shooting. I'm Bill Carnes. We'll be right back after the break. You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. All right, guys, we're going to talk now about one of my most fiery subjects, and that is anti-gunners who are on such a mission that the truth plays absolutely no part in what filth spews forth from their mouths. It's all about their agenda of disarming the American people. They want to get guns away. They equate guns with violence. They do not equate guns with people. Now, I make that distinction because there is gun violence. But there's also many, many, many more, millions more people who own guns that keep guns for defensive use, not offensive violence to commit crimes. However, anti-gunners never seem to draw that conclusion. They try to lump all of us in together. As though mothers against drunk driving would lump all of us into the same pallet as drunk drivers because we all own cars. How offended would you be? If Mothers Against Drunk Driving said, you know, everyone should take public transportation or ride a bicycle, because those that get in cars drunk kill people and ruin lives. And if you're in a car, we're going to try and get it away from you. You shouldn't have a car. Nobody should have a car, because people that have cars are bound to get drunk, get in that car, and kill somebody or ruin lives while they're drunk behind the wheel. Now, that makes no sense at all, does it? However, it's exactly the ploy with anti-gunners. And anti-gun media, they don't really care to do any fact-checking whatsoever when they have a guest on there who is spewing forth some anti-gun rhetoric. They don't do any fact-checking at all. All right? Now, the following publications and media outlets have assisted in the attack on the Second Amendment rights of all Americans. The editorial policies of some of the media sources that I'm about to list portray firearms in a negative manner purposely in an attempt to generate public support for restrictions on firearms ownerships. Others have refused some or all of pro-gun advertisements, including those of the NRA. Capital Cities Television Network, you know it as ABC, ABC Television, out of New York. Bell Atlantic, out of D.C. Blue Chip Stamps. The Christian Publishing Society, part of the Christian Science Monitor. Columbia Broadcasting Service, also known as CBS Television Network. Corporation for the Public Broadcasting, also known as PBS Television. Imagine that. Cox Newspapers, who has the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is funny because it says Constitution, although they're against the Second Amendment to that Constitution. Garnet News Service, which is USA Today. Johnson Publishing Company, who is also Ebony Magazine. Knight Rider Newspapers, which is part of the Detroit Free Press, very anti-gun. Miami Herald, the LA Times, and the Times Mirror Square, is actually where they're based there in LA, but the LA Times. McCall's Magazine, out of New York. Motorcycle Cruiser Magazine, which is a little surprising to me. National Broadcasting Company, imagine that, NBC. So we fit ABC, NBC, CBS. Newsweek, Rolling Stone Magazine, not too surprising there. New York Times, always willing to give anti-gun time to anyone who wants to spew forth. Time Magazine, no surprise there. The Times Mirror Corporation, which is actually the major corporation over the LA Times and a few other newspapers in the LA area. The Baltimore Sun. The Tribune Company, who is the Chicago Tribune, and the Washington Post. Not listed on here, and this list comes from gunowners.org, which is also compiled, I believe, by the NRA. This doesn't include, for some reason, I don't know, CNN. CNN, Michael Savage actually refers to CNN as the Crescent News Network, because of the crescent used in the old Soviet Union, which I believe is quite accurate. A very anti-gun politically charged group there. They had New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg on last week, late last week. I think it was on Thursday. And Michael Bloomberg, who started Mayors Against Illegal Guns, that's what he started. And there's been a lot of mayors that join this group. And in recent times, in recent months, a whole bunch of mayors have left. Because the mayors that joined under the auspice, yeah, look, we're against illegal guns out there on the streets. Then they realized that MEG, as it's called, is against all guns and all people having all guns. So dozens and dozens of mayors have left the group. Well, CNN recorded an interview with Bloomberg last week that we're going to play in the next segment, where he is lying through his filthy, yellow, disgusting, rotted head all about guns. Absolutely lying. Pure, bold-faced lies. And CNN actually aired it without doing any fact-checking. So we're going to play that in the next segment. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right. So, Michael Bloomberg, billionaire mayor who bought the election in New York City. As a matter of fact, he went so far, he served two terms, wanted to serve a third, which there's a term limit in New York City. So what he did was he paid off the city council to change that provision so he could keep running. He wants to be the FDR of New York City, evidently. And with all of the billions that he's got, he can, and he's got more money coming in than he's got going out by far, he can afford to keep buying it off. And he uses that as an anti-gun platform. That is his main reason for wanting to stay as mayor of New York City. biggest city in the country, and he can use that to stay in the press and pitch his anti-gun rhetoric. Now, one of the things that anti-gunners do, as I said in the last segment, is they absolutely lie through their teeth, purposely knowing what they're saying is an absolute lie, to try to get the people who are the uninformed masses to believe them and realize, wow, there really is a problem, when in fact there is not. One of the things Michael Bloomberg says in this interview I'm about to play for you that was on CNN last week, it was on the 20th, he says that gun dealers, now keep in mind a gun dealer is somebody with a federal firearms license. If you don't have a federal firearms license, you're not a dealer. Just those terms are mutually, they're exclusive together. A dealer and a federal firearms licensee are the same thing. Okay. So he says dealers, FFL dealers, must perform federally mandated background checks when people come in and buy guns from them. However, he says, when they go to gun shows, they're exempt from having to do background checks, so they can sell their entire inventory to people who have not had a background check done, which is an absolute lie. My fact-checking went so far as to talk to two different people who I know who have FFLs, and in addition, got the phone number to an ATF agent and called that ATF special agent and confirmed that that's BS too. So we're going to sit and we're going to listen to this interview with Bloomberg. It's about 8 minutes long. I want you to hear all of this and realize all of the lies that the anti-gun left has no shame whatsoever in spewing forth. Listen to all of
this. In the morning, CNN's American Morning, weekday, 6 a.m. Eastern.
It's called Mayors Against Illegal Guns, now launching a full-scale media offensive trying to convince lawmakers to rewrite the gun show laws. And one of the group's leaders is New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He's here with us exclusively this morning. Mr. Mayor, great to see you. Thanks for being with us. I know this is an issue near and dear to your heart. One ATF study found that more than 10,000 trafficked guns a year can be traced back to gun shows. That's about 30% of the black market there. What is this so-called loophole? Why is it easier, it seems, to buy guns at gun shows?
Congress requires you do a background check before you sell a gun in a gun store. Most gun dealers are honest, follow the law. 1% of them don't. But there's another way you can buy a gun. If you go to a gun show, at gun shows explicitly, there is no requirement to do background checks. And so a dealer could take all of his or her inventory and go to a gun show and sell it without the background checks.
Now, folks, realize that is a complete, total, and utter fabrication. Lie, lie, lie. Absolutely incorrect information, and Bloomberg absolutely knows it. The only people who can sell guns at a gun show are people who are not licensees. Like, if I go to a gun show and I want to sell a rifle that I've got, that's a private party transfer. I just happen to use the gun show as a captive audience to people who are in the gun market. It's easier for me to find that. I don't have to spend money in the newspaper and deal with people. I can be there, they can look at it, check it out, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people there. So that was an absolute fabrication.
And people say, well, I go to buy one gun, but you can see people will buy 10 or 100 guns, and then they take those and resell them, and they sell them to our kids, and they sell them to convicted felons who under federal law can't own guns.
More lies.
Now, Mr. Mayor, the argument, though, against closing the gun show loophole is that private sellers, those who don't normally engage in the sale of weapons, can sell a gun at a flea market or person to person without a background check, and so you're putting an onerous requirement on people at gun shows. There's also a suggestion that a federal law against that requires a background check at a gun show would be a violation of the Commerce Clause. What do you say about that?
Well, there's no violation. The Supreme Court has ruled it's not a violation of the Second Amendment, your right to bear arms.
But what about the Commerce Clause?
The federal government does have the right to regulate things. They already regulate the fact or require that you do background checks before you buy a gun at gun stores. It's exactly the same thing as at a gun show. There's no difference here other than they deliberately left this out, and this is the way the Columbine Massacre murderer got the guns.
This is total bull. What he just did was he skipped past the whole thing. What the interviewer is saying is, look, there's private parties that are not subject to the Commerce Clause. And Bloomberg totally blew over that and didn't answer it, as you can tell, just trying to get away from any potential facts that there are there. And they're about to go through more here. Listen to this.
This is the way cops on our streets are getting shot. A third of the illegal guns that we find when we arrest somebody for committing a crime come through gun shows. You can
and that's bull. He's about to say that you can trace those, which if they go through a gun show and there's no background check, how can you trace it? So, again, just coming up with statistics. You know, 82.1% of all statistics are made up on the spot. I hope you heard the pun in that.
Trace them back. And it's just got to stop. It is killing our children. It is killing our police officers. And I was pleased to see that the new senator from Colorado, Michael Bennett, just signed on to the legislation to close the gun show loophole. This has nothing to do with your right to bear arms. Every state has the right to enact their own regulations.
Right.
So
why not do this? So why not do this at a state level? Because New York already requires it.
Yes, you can do it at a state level, but it's so easy to carry a gun from one state to another. In New York, very few gun dealers sell guns illegally, but people bring guns into our state. All they do is they go to another state, they buy it, they put it in the back of their car, they drive in, and they open the back of their trunk and start selling it to kids on the streets.
Well, this is the shocking part, though. You guys contracted with a private firm. They said that 35 out of 47 sellers, when they investigated these gun shows, actually did complete sales to people who appear to be criminals or straw purchasers, and that's astounding. But at the same time, if a criminal wants to get their hands on a gun, they're going to find a way to do it, right? If it's
not gun shows,
it'll be
something
else.
If you make it more difficult, they're less likely to do it, and there'll be fewer guns in the streets.
Total lie.
Your children will be safer, and the police
criminals get guns illegally
to protect you will be safer. It's just not true. It's true, for example, if you say it's illegal to drink and drive, doesn't mean everybody's going to follow the law, but a lot fewer people will drink and drive, and you're a lot safer.
Let's take a moment to talk about the financial services reform bill, because the president's going to be coming here to New York City on Thursday to promote it, to talk about it. You were not aware of him coming.
Well, I was asked about 5 minutes after the White House announced that I'd been in a press conference, and somebody said, and I said, I just saw it on the blog as I walked in. In all fairness, it's kind of hard to know before they announce it.
Yeah, well, but
okay, let's forget about that press conference. I don't really care. We've got Bloomberg going on and on with nothing but lies. Essentially, every single thing he said in the last 4 minutes were all absolute lies, with the exception, you can go to another state, buy a gun, and bring it back. However, you can't go, if you can't be a New York resident and buy a handgun out of state and bring it back. You might be able to go there and buy a long gun and bring it back, or buy a private party and bring it back, but that's because your rights are being suppressed in the state of New York. We have a caller calling to chime in on this. Kevin in Pennsylvania, up in that region. Kevin, welcome to 2A Radio.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm a new listener probably in the last couple of weeks, so I really enjoy all the programs you have.
Oh, good.
I have a question. Just thinking not how to go about this, but I'll just ask it. I had a felony when I was probably 19 years old of a burglary, and I was put on probation. Now I'm 57 years old. So just digging into this, to get a handgun, from what I understand, because of that, I wouldn't be able to get a permit?
Well, here's the deal. You can get, what is the legal term? There's a legal term where you can go to a judge and have the judge exonerate your record and give you any of your rights back. So you can own a gun, you can vote, you can get all the, when you get a felony conviction, all that stuff's taken away, even after you do your time. You have to specifically petition a judge and say, look, in this case, this happened when I was 19 years old. How old are you now, 57?
Yes.
Okay, I have 37 years worth of good behavior. Provided you haven't been arrested, maybe you're a family man, gone to school, whatever. You go all through all the good things that you have done, absence of anything bad. Look, I learned from my mistake. I was a punk-ass kid back then. I have done all this good stuff. I'd like to have my rights back. I want to be able to vote. I want to be able to, all the things that were taken. I want to be able to live my life as a regular, normal person of society, because I paid my debt. I've been clean. It's been 37 years. I think I have a good, solid track record. And you can petition the court to, which would be a judge at the state level. you can petition them to give you all of your rights back. And it's not exonerate. There's a term for it. You can look at it.
Something like deplunged.
Expunge. That's it.
Yeah.
To expunge your record. Yes.
Okay. That was very good what you said. And one other point with that is I was curious, looking at the Constitution, it says we have the right to bear arms. But it doesn't say anything that if you committed a felony, from what I see, but I haven't really studied, that you're going to get pushed out of that. I was just wondering, was there a law made and when was that, that now all of a sudden the felonies come in like my situation?
Yeah, I can't tell you when it went down. No, it's not the Constitution, but the thing is the Constitution is kind of the supreme document of the land, and all the laws need to follow that. And the Supreme Court has upheld anybody who's had a felony conviction. Now they can't own a gun, they can't vote, and some of the other restrictions. That has been adjudicated by the Supreme Court and held up a couple of times that is legal. So I don't think you're going to be able to go in there and get any groundbreaking rule changes at the federal level. It's actually proper. Now, there's a lot of people who commit felonies, say something like forgery, which is a nonviolent crime, but in fact, it's a felony. There's a lot of felonies that don't involve any sort of violence, and those folks cannot buy guns or vote or any of the other things either. The thing is it's kind of a one-size-fits-all. They say, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, and part of the time is what you, unfortunately, are experiencing, is you can't buy a gun, you can't vote, some of the other things. So, you know, if people aren't thinking about that when they're committing a crime that they may get convicted of, then that's totally on them. It really is. I mean, that's their own decision to make. If you don't realize it, then, you know, unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. However, you have 37 years of background, and I'm imagining you've had a clean record in the last 37 years?
Yes, married, 7 kids.
Great. Well, there you go. That right there, you know, you got a profession, you moved on, you've left that out. That was one mistake back in the day. That is the type of thing that most judges will say, yes, this is a productive member of society, much more productive than a lot of other people's, and this person should have all of these rights restored. And all you have to do is petition the court.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Take care, and thanks for tuning in and listening.
Yep, you bet.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to get back onto this whole thing with Bloomberg. Bloomberg is one of the leading talking heads of the anti-gun movement. And this guy, you just heard him, he spent 4 solid minutes lying. Every single thing, every percentage that he gave out, every little thing he came out with was an absolute lie. Saying that dealers do not need to do background checks at a gun show. Absolute lie. Absolute, unequivocal, total, 100% outright, filthy, disgusting lie. Something tells me that his breath stunk when he gave that information out, because it was such a filthy, disgusting lie. How could it not? Some of his other things, a third of all the guns recovered in crimes can be traced back to gun shows. Absolute, total, and utter lie. Totally, totally, totally wrong. Absolutely false. All of these numbers that he's throwing out there is an attempt to try to get the people who just don't know, which is the vast majority of Americans, to think that there's a huge problem out there. There's not. The gun show loophole, as they call it, deals only with private party transfers. They call it a loophole, as though private parties are in there with 200 guns doing deals. Somehow they're subverting the entire federal firearms licensee requirement. Not true. Not true at all. Not so. Now, you and I have both been to gun shows, I'm sure. We've all been to gun shows where we see somebody walking around, there's a rifle slung across their back that says for sale, and it has the information on it. That's somebody that paid their money to go into this show. They're looking around at stuff, and if they can offload this rifle, great. That's a private party transfer. It's no different than putting an ad in the newspaper or on Craigslist or on gunbroker.com. There's no difference. Actually, there's a difference with gunbroker. Because with gunbroker, if it goes across state lines, you got to send it to an FFL dealer. But there's no difference in selling it to somebody, you know, who lives 10 blocks or 5 miles away. just you're not going through the long, drawn-out process of going through all of the advertising. You have a concentrated group of pro-gun people, and there's probably someone there, very possible someone that's there, that might be interested in that gun. So they use that as a format that they don't have to advertise in. They got to pay their entrance fee into the gun show. Everybody does that, so the gun show gets money there. But that's just their way of doing it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's like owning a classic car. And instead of going online or into your local paper and paying money to try to find somebody to buy your classic car, instead of doing that, you drive to Reno, Nevada in August, and you go to hot August nights, and you put a for sale sign on the back window of your car. You've now got a captive audience. Is there any problem with that? Is there any problem with somebody who's a hot rodder taking their hot rod to a hot rod event and selling that hot rod to somebody because there's a captive audience and a bunch of people who are hot rod enthusiasts? That is the exact same thing as people selling their guns at gun shows. There's not a loophole involving licensees and regular dealers. It's a lie, guys. A total lie. More after the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Calling in to kick in on today's topic, Scott in West Virginia. Scott, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hey, bud. First of all, I want to say RBN is number one, man. You guys used to always have the greatest of everything.
Well, thanks,
this guy that just called in a little bit ago from Pennsylvania about them about his civil rights.
Yes.
Now, the way that voting right is, he can vote. That's just plain simple. If he's not under conviction, and we just had a big write-up about that. It was last voting season here, and about that in the paper that explained that. And what it is now I'm not a lawyer, so he might want to check it out. But the way it was written was, it says if you're under conviction, in other words, you're still serving your sentence, then you can't vote. But as long as you've served your sentence, you're no longer under conviction, even though we've, you know, maybe been convicted. And that's the way that's what they was explaining in the newspaper, was saying that that there's a lot of people that don't realize that, you know. And so anyhow, you might check that out and see what and see if I'm right on that. But that's the way it was in the, well, you know, like I said,
then I guess from there, all he'd really have to do is go down to register to vote and see what they tell him, because that should be an easy enough thing.
I don't know about that, because you know how easy that would be to for things to happen. And another thing on this gun thing, what I can tell him is, you go by your constitution, because God gave us this right. Not only that, but our forefathers gave us this right to bear arms to protect yourself. So I wouldn't veer any other direction other than that. I mean, that's just a God-given right to be able to protect yourself.
Well, it is. But then here's been the argument. And thanks, by the way, for calling in. I'm going to give the rest of my response off the air, because we're about to finish up with the show. Thanks for calling in. The thing is it's your God-given right to protect yourself. However, you risk that when you decide to get into felonious conduct. That's the problem. Is if you make the conscious decision to allow yourself to be involved in felonious conduct, you risk several things. Your freedom is one of them. Your rights to be able to carry a gun or vote while you're incarcerated and some other things are involved in that. That is an inherent risk, not just to be convicted of the crime, but the other things you lose on top of that. So keep that in mind. It's all about personal responsibility and the decisions you make involved in your life. That's what we're talking about. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for The Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.